نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. صدق الله العظيم. This is a verse from Surah Nisa in the Quran Kareem. It's also connected with the topic that we were discussing last night, that we ought to bring deen alive in every dimension of our lives. Deen should take priority, everything else must take a back seat. We are Muslims first, and then we are businessmen, and then we are employees, and then we are involved in legal activities of the world. So deen must take a priority. This verse of the Quran of Surah Nisa refers to our monetary transactions, monetary dealings. Here too, we should give deen a priority. Before we even engage in trade and commerce, we ought to acquaint ourselves with the laws of Shariat that govern trade and commerce, so that our earnings, our livelihood is halal, it is above board. So Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, in the ayat, that all you who believe, لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل, do not consume one another's wealth by false means. False means meaning, do not steal, do not rob others of their wealth, do not usurp the property of others, do not take or pay interest, do not resort to bribery and corruption, do not deceive one another. If you wish to earn livelihood, then the correct way, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ, they do it by way of monetary transaction, by way of trade and commerce with mutual consent, then you are allowed to take the wealth of another person, even earn a profit when it is done with mutual consent. So Allah Ta'ala forbids us from earning our livelihood in false ways. That is why in the hadith Nabi Sallam emphasizes that talab al-halal faridatun ba'd al-farida, that to acquire and earn halal wealth, livelihood, among the many obligations of Sharia, this is one of the primary obligations, to ensure that one's earning is halal. In one hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Karim Sallam warns that يأتي على الناس زمان لا يبالي المبالي المبالي المرء مما أخذ منه أمن الحلال أمن الحلال أم من الحرام, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That the time will come when a person will have no scruples. He will not be concerned where he earns his money from, whether it is from halal sources or whether it is from haram sources. Earning from haram is something that destroys a person's spiritual progress, spiritual life, puts him behind as far as his deen progress is concerned. So very, very important. Do not resort to taking interest, paying interest. Do not resort to deception in your trade and commerce. In one hadith it comes, on one occasion, Nabi Karim Sallam was walking through the marketplace of Madina Munawara. He came across a merchant who had a heap of wheat piled up, was selling that grain to people. Nabi Sallam knew that overnight some rain had fallen. So this wheat was exposed to the rain, and some part of it became moist. It had a defect, it was flawed. So in order to deceive the customers, the moist portion he hid under the pile, and he put the dry portion above. Nabi Sallam put his hand into the middle of the pile and noticed that it is moist, it is defective. So Nabi Sallam scolded this businessman and said to him, Man ghashana falaysa minna, the person who deceives his customers is not of my flock. He does not deserve to be counted amongst my followers. So So in order to earn our livelihood, to run our businesses, we should not resort to deception. Do not resort to bribery and corruption. The hadith tells us, الراشي والمرتشي في النار. The person who gives a bribe, the person who takes the bribe, will be in the fire of Jahannam. In the hadith too, we read that لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله وشاهدي. Then Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم curse the person who takes interest, who pays interest, and the person who is witness to an interest transaction, وكاتبه, the person who writes out the document of interest, that these people are all under the curse of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our businesses, there might be some merchandise that has a flaw, defect in this. We ought to divulge the defect to the customer. In the hadith, Nabi Sallam says to this effect, that in sadaqa wabayyana burika lahuma fi bay'ihima وَإِنْ كَتَمَ وَكَذَبَ مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاتُ السَّلَامِ. Then the merchant, when selling his merchandise, if he knows there is a flaw in the item, he divulges the flaw, he does not conceal it, he speaks the truth, he will see barakat in his trade. On the other hand, if he lies, he conceals the defect, then the barakat, blessing of the trade and commerce, will be taken away from him. Our pious predecessors were very, very concerned about this. The trade and commerce should take place in the correct manner, in accordance with the laws of Sharia. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala would not give a businessman a trading license unless and until he would acquaint himself with the laws of trade and commerce as far as Sharia is concerned. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was a successful trader. Sharia does not prohibit a person from trading. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, prior to being blessed with the mantle of prophethood, also traded, also bought and sold. So it is a way of earning halal livelihood, provided that a person keeps within the confines of Sharia. So to become wealthy is not something this is despising Sharia. But together with the wealth that one earns, one should have taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith from Ibn Majah, Nabi Karim Sallam says to this effect, then لا بأس من الغناء لمن اتقى. There is nothing wrong in earning wealth as long as a person has taqwa. He has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to earn the dunya in order to run our day-to-day lives. That is why the hadith doesn't say, الدنيا رأس كل خطية, that the world is the root of all evil. But the hadith says, حب الدنيا رأس كل خطية. That love for the dunya, to immerse oneself to such an extent into the dunya, that the person forgets his dini obligations, that is detrimental. So nonetheless, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was also a successful trader. He was a fabric merchant. On one occasion, he ordered from his supplier a huge consignment of fabric. It came into the shop. He had a partner by the name of Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullahi. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi noticed that this consignment had a certain flaw. It was defective. So he said to his partner, Imam Sa was going somewhere, he said to him, if a customer is interested in these rolls of fabric, then divulge the defect to the customer. Show him what the flaw is. In spite of the flaw, if he is prepared to buy, well and good. If he doesn't want to buy, do not force him. So Hafs bin Abdul Rahman also was a pious person. But it is human nature, a person forgets. When a customer came and bought out that whole stock of fabric that came to the shop on that day that was flawed, Hafs bin Abdul Rahman forgot to divulge the flaw. It was not deliberate. It was not intentional. Later, when he realized a mistake, and he explained this to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Imam Sahib became very upset, very upset. They decided to look for this purchaser, the customer. He was untraceable. They could not find him. So then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, in consultation with his partner, decided to give that entire amount in sadqah and khairat. And that was not a small amount. It was 20,000 dirhams. In today's time, one dirham is approximately about 30 to 35 rands. In other words, 600,000 worth of stock. He did not look for a loophole. We look for loopholes. Then let us recoup our cost price, give out the profit in khairat. No, he gave the entire amount out in khairat because he did not want to face retribution or accountability on the day of Qiyamah. So careful they were. So this is what you call taqwa. The hadith says, لَا بَأْسَ بِالْغِنَىٰ لِمَنِ اتَّقَىٰ. That to acquire wealth, to become rich and wealthy, is not despised, provided a person possesses that element of taqwa, that he has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he does something wrong, something untoward, immediately he turns in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He carries out some action to make reparations for that wrongdoing that he perpetrated, so that he does not have to face accountability on the day of Qiyamah. So one important thing in trade and commerce is this factor, that we make sure our earnings are halal and not from haram sources. So the Quranic ayah says, they take one another's wealth by means of trade and commerce, but with mutual consent. Do not deceive, do not steal, do not rob, do not usurp. There are other ways of also earning our livelihood, permissible ways. Someone can gift you an item, permissible to accept. If you're poor, someone gives you in charity, permissible to take. You get money in inheritance, that is also permissible. So many permissible avenues. But this ayah singles out trade and commerce because that is generally the most common way that a person earns his livelihood. So the most important thing to remember, first and foremost, that we resort to permissible ways, halal ways to earn our livelihood. Taqwa demands that. Second important thing with regard to trade and commerce, earning livelihood, that even though we have earned that livelihood from halal ways, permissible ways, but consider that income, that wealth as amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not become extravagant. It doesn't mean that because the wealth belongs to you, you can spend it as you want to. The Quran forbids israf. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Do not be extravagant. Do not waste. Allah Ta'ala does not love those people who resort to wastage. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانَ لَنُ إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That those who resort to wastage are brothers of the shayateen. They are pleasing the shaitan, not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two terms are used in the Quran, israf and tabdhir. There is a slight difference between the two. Israf means spending one's wealth in permissible avenues, but spending more than what one ought to spend. To spend beyond necessity. Permissible avenues. Then too, one should curtail one's expenditure. Do not spend more than what is necessary. And tabdhir means spending in impermissible avenues. In gambling, going to the tattoo stalls, in dens of vice and evil. So these are impermissible avenues. So this is also extravagance. So something has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made us the owner, but we are, so to say, superficial owners. The true owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an amanat from Allah ta'ala. You ought not to overspend. Even a commodity like water, which is normally obtained very easily, free to acquire, you know, on certain occasions, but yet you are not allowed to even use water more than necessary. On one occasion, Nabi Akram came across Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. He was busy making wudu. Nabi Sam noticed that he was using water that was above necessity, more than necessary. So Nabi Sam rebuked him by saying, "Ma hadha sarf ya Sa'd? What is this wastage?" So he became concerned. He asked Nabi Karim Sa'azam, "I feel wudu is sarfun. I am carrying out an ibadat. In wudu too, is there extravagance?" Nabi Sa'azam said, "Na'am, walau kunta ala nahrin jari." That yes, even though you are making wudu on the bank of a river, where there is abundant water flowing, then too, do not utilize water more than what is necessary. We open the taps, we make wudu, sunnah to wash the limbs 3 times. We tend to wash our limbs more than 3 times. In the winter months, warm water coming out of the taps. Many people overuse the water, especially when washing the feet. They use so much water, there is more that a person uses for the entire rest of the wudu. Because it feels comfortable, warm water flowing onto the feet. So this too is prohibited. A Bedouin came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inquired the way of making wuzu. Nabi sallam gave a practical demonstration of wuzu to this person and then said to him, "Man zada ala hada faqad sa'a wa ta'adda wa zalama." Aw kama qala alayhi sallatu wasalam. If a person uses more water than this that I've showed you, more water than what is necessary, he has committed a wrong, he has exceeded the parameter of Sharia, he has oppressed the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, he has not shown appreciation for the bounty of Allah Ta'ala. So because we have earned that livelihood, it doesn't mean we can spend it where we want to. If we spend it in permissible avenues, do not overspend. And spending impermissible avenues, that is totally out of the question. He comes in a hadith to this effect, that لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس عن عمري فيما أفنى وعن شبابي فيما أبلى وعن ماله من أين اكتسب وفيما أنفق وعن علمه ماذا عمل فيما علم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. On the day of Qiyamah, 5 questions will be posed to every single person. The first question, the life that we gave you, how did you utilize this life? Did you spend it in the obedience of Allah or in disobedience? The youth that was given to you, the energy, how did you spend your youth? And then, the wealth that was given to you, how did you earn it? In halal ways or haram ways? Where did you spend it? In halal avenues, haram avenues? The knowledge that was given to you of Sharia, to what extent did you put it into practice? All these questions will be posed on the day of Qiyamah. So we have to be very, very careful in our business also. How we earn our livelihood, how we spend it, make sure we do not exceed the boundaries, the parameters of Sharia in this respect as well. So number one, in trade and commerce, make sure the earning is from halal sources. Number two, do not be extravagant. Number three, when you earn livelihood, do it with the intention of supporting your dependence. Because Allah Ta'ala has given us obligation to you, to maintain your spouse, maintain your children. Do it with that intention. Allah will give you barakah in your livelihood. In the hadith, Nabi Sallam says, "But inna ma turzakun wa tunsarun bi du'afaikum." That you are given provision, you receive divine assistance by virtue of your weak dependence. So you earn in order to sustain yourself and to sustain your dependence. Then you will see barakah in that earnings. On one occasion, a certain sahabi came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a brother. That brother used to spend all his time in the service of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the service of deen, going out in the path of Allah, going out in jihad, sitting in the company of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other brother that came with a complaint, he was running a business. So he complained to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I am slogging day and night, running the business, assisting my brother, but he spends all his time in your service, doing nothing whatsoever. So Nabi Sam said to him, that ponder over this, لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ. There is a possibility that you are being given sustenance by virtue of this brother to in khidmat of deen. Allah Ta'ala is using him to give barakat in your business. So do not complain. So we too should not complain that our spouses not bring livelihood into the home. We don't have to send them into the corporate world. Our children are weak. They are unable yet to fend for themselves. We earn for them. We provide for them. By making this intention, Allah will give barakah in our livelihood, in our sustenance. So in trade and commerce, these three factors to remember. Earning should be from halal. Number two, do not overspend. Do not be extravagant. And number three, earn your livelihood with the intention of sustaining yourself and providing for your dependence. Then you will see barakat. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah, to bring deen alive in every dimension of our lives, in our business, in our earnings, in our livelihood, in our day-to-day activities. Then we will see prosperity in this world and in the akhirat. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. سبحان الله وبحمده